First Kings tonight, 22, just for a few minutes, and we'll give Brother Ken time he needs. Reading this today, my Bible study, and I wrote some things down. Hope you get a chance to read your Bible every day. You ought to. And it's, you all know the story about Ahab. Ahab, you know, he was a bad king. But the Lord got a blessing out of Ahab when he said that. He said to the prophet and said, "Hey, do you see what he's done? He's repented." But here, Ahab, he hooks up with Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, you read a little further in the next chapter where Jehoshaphat, God said, "The only reason I didn't bring judgment is because of Jehoshaphat." And God, Jehoshaphat was a man that he was the king over Judah. And Ahab was the king over Samaria, which was Israel, the 10 tribes that split. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, but Jehoshaphat made some, when we read our Bible, we see now Jehoshaphat, he hooked up with some people he shouldn't have hooked up with. Let's read on down. Let's read this thing. It says, this is right after Ahab has Naboth killed. And he calls Elijah his enemy. Chapter 21, he calls Elijah his enemy. And he says, "You're the one that troubles Israel." And Elijah said, no, you and your house is what troubles Israel. Sin is what troubles Israel. And then you read on down, you read about who took Elijah's place, Elisha. And I was going to go through things about what Elisha said how many of y'all remember reading about the 50 soldiers coming out to take Elijah? And they said, "Thou prophet of God?" He said, "If I'm a prophet of God, let fire come down out of heaven and burn you up." And boom, fire came down out of heaven, burned 50 men up like that. And then another one came out. The king sent another one out. It was Ahab's son who sent him out. And another one came out, and he burned up them. And then finally, the third guy comes out, and he's on his knees. I mean, he humbles himself. But in chapter 22, it says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass," notice the 3 years, "came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And then he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to battle in Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." I mean, he was right when it came to the Jewish people and all that, but he wasn't the same. He wasn't the same as Ahab. He's hooking up with a bad king. And, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And here, Ahab was an idol worshiper, and he was worshiping up there in the tribe of Dan, worshiping a calf and worshiping Baal and all kinds of stuff. And Jehoshaphat, he still worshiped God. And God took notice of that old boy, even though he was in bad company. God still watched over Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. He said, let's find out what God wants us to do. You notice Ahab never said nothing about God, never wanted to find out what God had to say about anything. That's the way the world is. They don't want to know nothing about what God has to say. But Jehoshaphat, the man that loved God and feared God, he wanted to find out what God had to say about it. Even though he found out, he still went to battle. That's amazing. He still went to battle with Ahab, and he still goes out with him. And I guess maybe he was shamed into it. And sometimes you can get around some people and get shamed into something. And you figure, well, if I back out now, they're going to think I'm a sissy. If they're going to think I'm, or it might cause more harm, and we might end up fighting each other, and I'm trying to keep peace here. And then the kings of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and you all know about the prophets of Jezebel, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat, he's sitting on a throne next to Ahab. They're on one side, and he's on the other, and he's watching these 400 prophets. And I almost can get into his mind and think, he's sitting there thinking, my God, what am I doing? Why am I here? Man, these guys don't know nothing about God. They're out there cutting themselves just like they did back in 1 Kings 17, 18. They're out there cutting themselves and all kinds of crazy stuff. And they're carrying on and they're saying, go up and you're gonna win and this and that. And Jehoshaphat, finally, he's under conviction. I'm sure he's under conviction. Like a Christian sitting in a bar in the middle of, you know, being saved, sitting in a bar, being places where you shouldn't be. In the middle of the night, you know, where you shouldn't be. And he's sitting there, and Jehoshaphat's under conviction. He says, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? I mean, he leans over and says, hey, don't you have somebody around here that we can inquire from God? I mean, these guys, these 400 prophets, I just don't trust them. I just don't like them. And I don't like the way they're acting. They're probably wearing black, just like Baal worshipers. They're all wearing black, and they were, worshiping a calf or something. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man. God's always got one man. And it's a shame. He should have said, there's 100 of them. Oh, there's a 1,000 of them. But he said, there's one man. There's one guy. And, you know, that one guy came to Ahab's mind right off. That one guy came to Ahab's mind. And, you know, this is the only time you read about this one guy that I know of in the Bible. It's only one time, Micaiah. And it's only one time you read about this guy. It says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet but one man, Micaiah the son of Elam. And he says, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate this guy. I hate him. Isn't it funny, man? Have you ever thought, wouldn't that be cool if Donald Trump had a Bible believer in his court there? I mean, I know Mike Pence is saved, but wouldn't it be cool to have a prophet in there, a preacher that believed that book, King James Bible's Word of God, and he could get with him and find out, you know, what does the Bible say about the end times? What does the Bible say about Syria? What does the Bible say about Iraq? What does the Bible say about this and that? And I don't know. Maybe Trump has somebody like that in there. Maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe he is reading the Bible. I don't know. But it'd be a blessing. But he said, there's one guy, but I hate this guy. And it makes me think about, you know, when you're trying to live for God and you got people around you that are not trying to live for God, they despise you. They despise, like that guy at Ron's work leaving that track. They just think it's a joke, but they don't like it. They don't like somebody preaching to them. They don't like somebody to tell them the truth. But you know what? When the times get hard, like Ahab, you know what Ahab finds out? You find out, and you're reading your Bible, that Ahab believed this guy. So how do you know he believed him? Because he disguised himself. Jehoshaphat, he just went out there in his kingly robe and everything else. He didn't think much about it. Maybe he's a young man. He's young, and he goes inexperienced. But Ahab, very sly. He's very slick. And he disguised him. He said, you go ahead and wear your kingly, because he knew that they would go for him. He knew it. And the Bible says, he said, there's one guy, but I hate him. And he says, for he doeth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say on. He said, I want to hear what he has to say. He said, get him. Bring him. I want to hear what this guy's got to say. You know, the Bible doesn't mention this guy much, except for in this chapter that I know of. But he says, Ahab knew that guy would tell the truth. And he said, I hate the guy for telling the truth. It was like John the Baptist. John the Baptist shows up and he's preaching. He says, it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife and all that. And John the Baptist's wife hated John the Baptist. I mean, not John the Baptist, but Herod's wife hated John the Baptist because he told that truth. And she was willing to sacrifice her daughter and sacrifice everything just to get John the Baptist dead, just to get him dead. And you find that sometimes in the Bible, you find people just willing to sacrifice anything to kill somebody or get them out of their life or get them just dead. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called all the officers and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Elah. And he says, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And I imagine Jehoshaphat sitting there counting the time, thinking about, when is this guy going to show up? I'm tired of seeing these guys out here, these false prophets out here carrying on. It's like if you went Sunday morning, went to a Catholic church. It'd be like you sitting in a Catholic. Can you imagine? I've been in a Catholic service on a Sunday morning. Can you imagine sitting in there? I watch them come down there and just put on a dog, man, just, you know, swinging their incense and you know, and going and speaking in Latin and all that crazy stuff. But these guys are probably going nuts here. These guys were going off because you read over in 1 Kings chapter 17, and when they were cutting themselves, and they were going crazy because they wanted to get their God's attention. And the king of Israel, verse 9, called all the officers. And the king, down to verse 10, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah sat each on the throne. And then verse 11, Zedekiah, the son of Shemaniah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And this guy, I mean, he's really putting on a dog. He gets these horns, and he's kind of running around with these horns and running up to the throne, going, you're going to push them back. You're going to push them back. We're going to win. You're going to have all the land. And he's just carrying on. And Jehoshaphat, I would like to get into his mind and think, what is he thinking? What was he thinking? He's sitting there looking at these people going, oh, my, I'm in the wrong crowd. I'm with the wrong crowd. But see, one thing about it, he never learned from it. He ends up hooking up with Ahab's son there. And look on down. And it says, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of king's hand. And the messenger that was going to call Micaiah spake on him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of the one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, he says, the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that I will speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. he's just mocking him. He wasn't jumping around like all the other prophets saying, go, you're going to win. He just said, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're going to prosper. Yeah, go ahead. And look what Ahab knew this guy was pulling his leg. And the Bible says, and the king said on him, how many times have I adjured thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? That tells me something about Micaiah. He was the jokester too. I mean, he carried on a little bit. He said, yeah, go ahead. See what happens. Let's see what's going to happen to you, Bubba. You're a big man. Go ahead. You ever tell that some people, you know, people talk all this trash? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll see how it's going to come out. Amen. Yeah, it'll be fine for you. Go ahead. You'll find out. You'll find out what's. I've told people, man, I tell you what, when you get to, the Bible says there's a point on the man wants to die, and after this judgment, you're going to stand before God, and then you're going to wake up in hell. It ain't going to be cool. Go ahead. Do your thing. You think it's fun? Go ahead. And that'll work on their heart. That'll work on their mind. And Ahab gets upset with this guy. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills. When he said, I adjure thee. He says, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep which have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And Jehoshaphat just sitting there looking around going, what in the world? I can imagine he's going, what in the world did I get myself into? What in the world? But he was shamed into going with him. His pride didn't allow him to back out. And a lot of times you get in a situation with somebody, your pride won't let you back out. It'll mess you up. You'll say, well, if I do this, you better be careful who you hook up with. Careful who you're with. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Micaiah, he gives you a little insight about God. And here's the Lord. He says, therefore the word of the Lord, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on the left. It's like they're watching TV. They're on the right hand, on the left. They're looking down. He says, yeah, we see the situation. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord goes to and fro. He's watching everything. He knows the beginning from the end. That's why when a Christian gets all wired out over their life and things that happen, hey, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows your life. He's seen your life. He's seen it when the day you were born. He sees the day you die. You better trust him. You better trust him. He can see it all. You don't have to get all worked up, out of shape. The best thing you can do is like that captain of the 50 that came to Elisha and got on his knees and humbled himself and say, Lord, Hezekiah humbled himself. People get all worked up. And you know what I find most Christians don't do? They don't ask God about nothing. They don't pray about nothing. They just do it. And God sees the beginning to the end. He knows your life. He knows what's going to happen. You know what? And God also can change course for you if you'll change your heart. He'll change course. Your tree is like your life is like a tree. It goes up, branches go off. It all depends on which way you choose. Look here. And the Bible says, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, verse 20, that he may go up and fall in Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner and the other on that manner. Can you imagine that sitting there, God sitting on the throne and the angel saying, how about this? What about that? What about this? And then all of a sudden, it says, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. You know what it shows me? It shows me the devil's, if somebody's important to God, he's going to be important to the devil. You are important to God. If you're trying to serve him, you're going to be important to the devil. And the devil says, I know how to get him. I know exactly. I've been dealing with man for 6,000 years. I know him. I know how to get him. Get him through his pride. You know what I think? I wrote down three things about Micaiah. Micaiah, whatever you want to say. Micaiah, his testimony, he had a testimony of doing what's right. When Ahab, when Jehoshaphat said, is there anybody that we can inquire of God, of God that's a man? And first guy that came to his mind was Micaiah. I mean, think about it. He said, there's one guy. When somebody thinking about wanting to get close to God or somebody that is close to God, do they think about you? Do they think that you're the one we can call on? Micaiah, Ahab was a wicked king. We know that. And the first guy he thought about when Jehoshaphat said, is there anybody? Is there yet anyone? He said, but I hate him. He never tells me good things. Always tells me bad things. Why? Because he was living like hell. But Micaiah had a testimony. And when somebody wanted to know what was right, he was the guy. He was the guy. Or the woman. You can be the woman. A testimony of doing what's right. That guy. Micaiah had a testimony of doing what's right. Can you be trusted? The right road comes out the right place. Doc used to say, you find out what a man fears and what he loves, you'll know the man. And he said something else. When you're by yourself, what are you doing? That's the man. Micaiah had a testimony of doing what's right. Can you be trusted? I got the biggest kick after I got saved. I mean, nobody trusted me. But then I got working for companies, and they started giving me checks. They said, they signed the check, and they said, Alan, carry this with you. You see something we need, buy it. You don't have to call us. I'm talking about in the thousands. They trusted me. I didn't want to ruin that trust. I didn't want to throw that away. That I worked so hard to get to it. But God gave that testimony to me of doing what's right. Just do what's right. I had a man one time, I told you this, a Chinese man offered me all this money, and he said, a man got to be a fool not to work for me. And I thought, I got up, and that right there, and the Holy Ghost to God said, don't work for him. I got up and went to shake the guy's hand. He goes, what? What? He's right in D.C., right near the White House. I went to shake his hand, and I said, thanks, I guess I'm a fool. I walked out. Do you have a testimony of doing what's right? You'll do what's right no matter what. Can your wife trust you? Can your husband trust you? You going to do what's right? Do you have that kind of testimony? Micaiah did. He had a testimony. Jehoshaphat testified to it. He said, this guy, he's never prophesied good for me. He's always, you know. I'll tell you something else I wrote down. He says, his stand came as a result of walking with God. The reason why he stood where he stood was because he walked with God. He walked with God. The Bible says, a man loves God, the same is known of him. When you walk with God and you're walking with the Lord on a daily basis, there's a testimony there, and there's a result of that stand that you walk with God. Micaiah had that testimony that he stood, and where he stood was a result of his walk with God. We ought to be standing. The Bible says, having done all the stand, even when the darts are coming at you. Look in Ephesians 6. Look in Ephesians 6. Look what the Bible says. You know, a lot of people are impressed with money and fame, and they fall over themselves when they get around somebody got money and somebody got fame or whatever. They fall over them. We had a girl here one time told me, she said, preacher, pray for me. I said, why is that? She says, because God called me to go witness to the movie stars. I said, God never called you to go witness to the movie stars. And she said, I'm going to the movie stars. You know why? She wanted to get around that money and the fame. She thought she never made it. You know what happened? She ended up in jail in South Carolina. That girl called me from South Carolina. She was in jail and lost her family, lost everything. She come back here. I've seen her here. She walk in the door. She's come in the back and sit down. You know, a lot of times you sit Sunday morning, you see people come in, you never seen them before. And sometimes I look up, I don't remember who they are, but they'll come in and then they'll talk to me, or then somebody will say something to me and then I'll remember who they are. And I think back where they came from, where they had a chance, where things could have been different. I think back. Look in Ephesians 6. The reason why I'm saying this tonight is because his stand was a result of him walking with God. If you don't walk with God, your old saying is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't walk with God, you don't have a stand. You won't stand when the time comes to stand. And Micaiah stood. Guess what? He was outnumbered. The Bible doesn't mention anybody else other than Jehoshaphat. It was a man that was right. And Jehoshaphat's the one who requested the guy. And Ahab brought him and said, and then when the soldier that brought him said, you do what they, like the other prophets said, you do what they say. So he kind of mocked it. And then he got up and then Ahab says, didn't I adjure thee? Do you tell me the truth? And then he said, okay, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And we'll read what happens. But look here, Ephesians 6. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Therefore. You know, some people I've seen Christians, that they become whoever they're with. They act just like the people they're with. If they're with people at the bar, they're acting like people at the bar. If they're with Christians in church, they act like Christians in church. If they're out there on the job, they're cursing like everybody else is cussing. I know this should be a Sunday morning thing. I shouldn't preach this Sunday morning. But that's the way a lot of Christians are. They'll be one thing wherever they're at. But they're not the same and consistent when it comes to living for God. This guy, Micaiah, came in. I mean, everybody, they knew who he was. They said, and then when the soldier said, you do exactly what everybody else is saying. You act, tell them the exact way. And they threatened him. And the Bible says, having done all the stand, therefore. Having your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. So this guy, Micaiah, the Bible doesn't say much about him, but this guy has some guts. I mean, he was brought before two kings. with thousands and thousands of soldiers that he knew they could cut his head off in a moment's notice. And he stood there and told them the truth. This guy's, his stand was the result of his walk with God. And I'll tell you this last thing, time for time. He never let opposition remove him from the stand that he was in. He never let opposition. He stood. We have people always moving. They're always changing from their stand. They're always changing. We're supposed to stand. You know, John Wesley, even though he was a pastor, his wife didn't believe in, you know, she was a mess, and she would stand up and accuse him of being out drinking and drugging, and or not drugging, but drinking, and running around with other women and everything else. But he kept on preaching, kept standing. You're going to have opposition. And you're going to face your opposition sometimes come from your house, come from the ones you love. That's where your opposition come from. And then, I mean, you expect it out in the world, but a lot of times you don't expect it at the house. You don't expect it from the family, the opposition. But the opposition is either going to make you or it'll make or break you. It'll help you be strong. You know what opposition did for me? It made me stronger. My family turned against me. My mom, my dad, I mean, my mom ended up getting saved, but then my mom was for me. But then, people turned against me. And that same with you. You guys got the same thing. You got opposition. They turn, people can turn against you. Look what, let's read on down about Micaiah, verse 20. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner and another on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go forth and I will be a lion spirit in the mouth of his prophets. You know what Ahab did? He stood there before Jehoshaphat. He kept saying, I got 400 people prophesying we're going to win. You got this one guy you're worried about? I ain't worried about that guy. I don't like him anyway. I hate him. He never told me the truth. He's never told me good. He's never told me good. So Jehoshaphat, don't worry about that guy. Don't worry about him. But back at Jehoshaphat's mind, he was thinking about this guy. And look what the Bible says. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord put a lion's spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. And this is Micaiah telling them. He's telling them. But Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, came near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. He tells this guy, this is how you're going to die. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, into Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison. Feed him with bread of affliction, with water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah yelled out. Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, and the Lord have not spoken by me, but he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. You know what? He didn't believe them 400 prophets because he's hiding. And he entered into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And the king of Assyria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captain of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely is the king of Israel. They turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Who do you think Jehoshaphat cried out to? He said, Lord, help! God, help me! And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. Wherefore he saith unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I'm wounded. That guy just went, pulled that thing back, and that arrow went right in between. The Lord directed that. Why? The chapter before, God said, where the dogs drank the blood of Naboth, they're going to drink your blood. And the Lord took care of him. But Micaiah, the guy didn't back down, told the truth. And that's what I like about the guy. He didn't back up. He didn't let up. He had a testimony of doing what's right. His stand came as a result of his walk with God, and he never let opposition, never let opposition deter him from his stand. Don't ever let that happen. Stand for God. Amen. Brother, come on.